And the art class, next one will be November 19th, Saturday, the third Saturday. And the third Thursday luncheon will be on November 17th, Thursday at 1 p.m. And next Sunday, the first Sunday in November, will be our time change. So please put your clock 1 hour backwards. Am I right? Yeah, so if you don't, you probably will get here early, and you can help me set up everything before the worship starts. And also next Sunday we will have Holy Communion, so please join us for that as well. Our parking lot work is now scheduled to be on Thursday, November 10. Hopefully it is a good weather day. Let us pray that everything will work okay on that. And we cannot allow any cars on that day for 24 hours. So please keep that in mind on Thursday, November 10. The attendance and collections are listed there for your continued participation and prayers. And thank you all for your continued support of the church. I wanted to give you a quick report of the charge conference. Robert, Ms. Lou, and I, Evangeline, were able to attend the charge conference last Sunday. There were 20 or 22 different churches in this area that gathered together, and we heard reports from many churches. And we are glad that we were able to report for our progress and all the work that we do here. One of the things that I wanted to bring to you all is about the disaffiliation discussion that is going on in the church. Because of the issues that we are facing as a church about human sexuality, many churches have decided to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church. And we can do that too. And there is a document that I have copies of that, who needs it. So we have to follow this disaffiliation process. It's a legal document that we have to follow step by step and clause by clause. And it says that the church conference has to be called and the district superintendent will have to be present. And it has to be, the decision has to be by 2/3 majority of the professing members of the local church. And then we have to pay a certain amount of money to disaffiliate. It is something like 12 months of apportionments for the next 12 months and also another apportionment. So total of 24 months of apportionments. There's also some other liabilities about the pension, the fund that every church takes part. So last time I looked at it, there's an amount on each church. If you want to disaffiliate, this is the amount that you have to pay. And that is about $10,000 for our church. It might change to get out of the United Methodist Church and become independent. So we have two options. If we decide to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church, then we have two options. One is to be independent. We can be an independent church. We are on our own. We will maintain our property. We'll hire the pastor. We will hire the staff on our own. There is no reports to the district or any conference. And there is no appointments from anybody. So we are on our own. There's nobody to take our property away or so. The other option is, once you disaffiliate, you can join another church that just formed in a year, the last year, called the Global Methodist Church. That is particularly for people who are traditionally in the view of human sexuality, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Basically, that's what the discipline says now. And we don't want to change it. And I agree with that. And I'm sure all the church in this church agree with that, everybody. So if we want to join that group, it's called Global Methodist Church. They have a structure like ours, but they don't have bishops yet. But we will still be independent in the sense that we will own the property, and we will not have to lean our property and our church or any of those belongings to the conference. Right now, the United Methodist Church, everything belongs to the conference. So if we don't follow this document and want to go independent, they can say no. But if we say follow this document, and we have, believe it's December and January, right, that we can, we have to have this meeting. So we can go through all of this. Anybody wants copies? I have copies here. Whatever the church wants, I mean, I am okay and open for it. But as a church, you know, we will have to look forward to what we want to do as a church. Going independent is a good option, but at the same time, it comes with a lot of responsibilities. To keep up with the property, to find pastors, to find staff, and to pretty much everything. There is no oversight from the district. But at the same time, we have independence. Nobody's going to take and come take up our property or anything like that. So the other is Global Methodist Church. That is also a new entity, so we have to find out what exactly that means if we go and affiliate with Global Methodist Church. Robert has attended a Global Methodist Church meeting last month, and I haven't attended one. If you all want, we can have somebody come and talk to us, yes. Right, Robert?
Yes.
And see if Global Methodist Church is an option for us. But we are all traditionalists, and I know that, and I am too. But at the same time, what do we want to do, you know, as a church? Another point that we have to keep in mind is that the United Methodist Church has not made a decision about human sexuality yet. It is, the discussion is going to be done in 2024 in the global, the World General Conference. And that's when they decide, you know, they want to change human sexuality's definition in the discipline or not. So there's nothing decided yet. But we have the option now, between now and 2023, we can request the United Methodist Church, hey, we want to follow the process, and we want to become independent. So think about it, pray about it, talk to your friends about it, whatever you want to do. Let us have a meeting if you want to do that. We have to have two-thirds of the majority of the church members. And let me know, and we can make it happen whatever way you like. If we don't do anything, we'll continue as we are now. Then, you know, whatever the decisions that they make, we are bound by that. So keep that in mind. So talk to me if you have any more questions. And I believe Robert has some information too by the Global Methodist Church. So between him and I, probably we can answer some of your questions. If we can't, we'll find some answers. We'll find someone who can answer it. But let me know what we need to do. That's the main thing that I wanted to bring to the church. Let us continue to pray for the future of the church. And I know God is good. And any change, that God is in the middle of it. And we trust in an almighty and powerful God for the future. Are there any other announcements? If there are no other announcements, let us continue worshiping God together. Today, Miss Lou will be preaching because I had to go to the hospital for my procedure, so I told her to stand by. So she has a beautiful sermon waiting for us. Let us wait to hear from Lou. The opening hymn is "Oh, How I Love Jesus." It's 170. If you are able, please stand.
Because he first loved me, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood. the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in his sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us to gather here in this church and also online to worship you together. We thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, in our lives, in our body, in our families, in our church. All those things that we receive are from you and you alone, and we thank you for that. Eternal and loving God, you are the Almighty God, and we marvel at your majesty and power. We are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love, God. Even when we were yet sinners, you sent your Son Jesus Christ, who was sinless, to die for us, who took over all of our sins, so that we can call you Father and have eternal life. We thank you for your protection and care, and indeed for all the good gifts that we receive from you. We thank you for your grace every day that you give us, Lord, in this world for us to live here and to be faithful for your witnesses for you. We thank you again for this time that you have given us, Lord, to gather in your name in the church and also online. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord, with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name and lift your name up, that you will bless us, Lord, with the power of your word and the Holy Spirit when we leave this place. Bless us as a church, Lord, as we look forward to the future. Guide us with the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that we can make the right decision as we look forward to the future, so that we can be true to your will and to your spirit. In doctrine, in our faith, in our witness. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name in whatever way, opportunities that you give us, Lord. We pray that you be with us today to bless us as we gather together, that your presence go with us when we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. Responsive reading now, which is Psalm 97. You can turn with me to page 817. Please stand as you are able. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad.
Cloud and thick darkness around the Lord.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. Fire goes before the Lord and burns up his adversaries round about.
The Lord light and illuminates the world.
The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim God's righteousness, and all the peoples behold God's glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before the Lord. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. preserves the lives of his faithful, and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time as we share our prayers of blessings and concerns and burdens together as a church and lift them up to the Lord and wait for God's response and God's reply according to His will and His time. The regular prayer request at the back of the bulletin, if you can follow that with me. I shared earlier, I had a good procedure for my heart. Everything went well. It was on Monday. They kept me overnight, watched me, and sent me home the next morning. Everything was fine. They found a block on time, and I didn't have any problems or sickness or anything. It just came up as a routine test. Not routine, actually. Like I said, I went with her for her appointment and just casually talked to her doctor. And that's how it happened. I said, we need to do something about my irritation of my chest. And they ruled it out as in the beginning as not heart problem. But eventually, he ordered another test, and that showed a block. And so I didn't have a heart attack. I didn't have any symptoms. So thank God for everything that went up well, really well. Thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray for me and Evangeline as well, as we are recovering. There is nothing to recover. They said I can go back to regular routines, but she won't let me do a lot of things. But the doctor wants me to do and go back and exercise. But thank God for that, for everything went well. And we heard from Wayne that Carol is not doing well today. She was planning to come to church, but she's not doing well. So please keep her in our prayers. She longs to come back. She misses everybody, so please keep her in our prayers. And I heard from Martha that she's doing also fine. Anything else you want to share, Martha?
I do have chemo coming up this week, so please pray for me that goes well.
Okay. We'll continue to pray for Martha as well and Richard. Please pray for Terry and family. Eleanor Nicholson, his mother, is in hospice care. So please pray that God will give him peace and comfort during this time. And keep George Workis in our prayers this week particularly. He has one more tube to come out of his belly. Then he can start eating through the mouth. They are hoping that next week, in the next appointment, they will take it out. But let us pray. For the last 4 or 5 months, he is going through tube feeding, which is not fun. I have been there several times, and it's very hard. So please keep him in our prayers, and Sally, his wife, and the family for peace and comfort during this time. Yeah, we heard from Lou that one of her nephews.
Yeah, my nephew got killed on Friday evening. He was an over-the-road truck driver, and they don't know it. They found him in the truck.
Any others? If not, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Loving God, we thank you for this time of prayer that you have given us together to come before you as your children, trusting in your promise that you will hear our prayers that we make. We thank you, God, for the gift of life along with all the joys and blessings you give us, Lord. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. We thank you for all the many blessings, including our joyful occasions like anniversaries and birthdays and graduations and celebrations that we can celebrate. We thank you again for Norman as he celebrated one birthday in his life. We also thank you for 38 years of marriage of Robert and Kimberly. Bless all of them, Lord, and as you give them a new year,
yes,
guide them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they can be more faithful to you and be a blessing to this world as they continue their life in this world. We thank you again for their life and their blessings, Lord. We thank you for the gift of many, many people who have taken up responsibilities in the church, blessing us through in this church, O God. We thank you again for your presence in our church and your guidance, Lord. At the same time, we come before you with our burdens and concerns as well, Lord. Some of us are broken in our hearts, in our bodies, and in our spirits. And some of us are tired and they are weary, but your scripture teaches us that even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
Yes.
Lord, when we become tired and we feel powerless, we come to you because you empower us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. When we are lonely, you become our friend. And when we go through grief and separation and sadness, you are the source of our comfort and our peace. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord, and we come before you for our healing in our bodies, particularly the ones that we lifted up here today, who are broken in many ways, Lord, especially the ones who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. We especially pray for the family of Gerald Myers and Miss Lou and her family as they are grieving at the death of that young man. We pray that you will give them the strength in their spirit to go through this time and comfort them with your presence and fill them with your peace, Lord. We pray for Carol, as we heard that she is not doing well. We pray for your grace upon her.
Yes.
Strengthen her body and in her spirit, Lord. Give her the peace that she needs at this time. Also, we pray for Wayne, who cares for her. Bless them as a family to guide them, Lord. Strengthen her body and her legs that she can come back to church and worship together, Lord, according to your time and your will. We pray for Martha as she's going for another chemo this week. We pray that you will strengthen her and heal her, Lord, and help her to be a blessing as she continues with her recovery at this time. We thank you for my procedure that was a success. And the healing that you have given me, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for everything that we receive from you. The life that you give us in this world is a gift from you. Every day is a gift that you give us, Lord. Help us to use it for your glory and the blessing of others as we live out our lives in this world. Help us, Lord, to be faithful as a church as we do our ministry here, to look forward to the future as we have to make decisions about how we want to proceed as a church in the future, Lord.
Yes.
Help us and guide us with your Holy Spirit so that we can do the right thing and only the right thing that you want us to do. We pray for the leaders of the church and we pray for the leaders of our country at this time, particularly during this election time this coming week. We pray that you will lift up the right leaders and they will be guided by the Holy Spirit and the fear of God, that they will make the right decisions, Lord. We pray for your guidance in the election time and the unity of our country, and also the economy that we are worried about at this time. We pray that you will give the people who make decisions the right wisdom to guide the economy so that we can all have a strong economy coming forward, Lord. We pray for our service workers, especially the military, fire, police, and our various delivery clerks and trash workers and many, many others, our mailmen and those who are serving us every day. We thank you for their services and we pray for them and their family at this time for their safety. Bless them, Lord, with your grace. Be with us today, Lord, as we worship together, Lord, to glorify your name. In our songs we sing, our prayers we make, and the meditation of the word, we help us to glorify you and lift your name up so that we all will be blessed by your presence. Bless us also in the luncheon afterwards, that it will be nourish our bodies and our souls, that we can have good fellowship, especially with the Hispanic ministry, that we can do the work together in this community. Bless us, Lord, with your grace as we pray the prayer together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and everyone gives according to His given in His heart, not under compulsion or under reluctance, but out of joy. With God, we thank You for this opportunity that You have given us, Lord, to bring a portion of what You have given us back to You. Bless this offertory as You take this offertory and bless it, so that we can use this for the glory of Your name and the work of Your kingdom in this community and around the world. Help us, Lord, be faithful in our giving, in our time, in our witness, so that we can be called faithful witnesses when we face Your kingdom one day. We thank You again for this time You have given us, Lord, to worship together. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you remain standing, we will read the scripture. I have put that on the screen. I don't know the back. You may not be able to read that from the back, but I can. I will read it. You can listen, or you can read it through the screen as well. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. It's the letter Paul writes to the church in Rome. The letter to the Romans. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. As it is written, chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as we look forward to the sermon from Miss Lou at this time.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
I greet you in the name of our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I thank You this morning, Lord, that You woke us up and You started us on another day's journey. Lord, we thank You for the rain. We know, Heavenly Father, that You're an awesome God. We know, Lord, that You're a good God. We thank You this morning for Your grace and Your mercy. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You would use me, use my mouth as Your mouthpiece to speak Your word to Your peoples. And may the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Paul, I'm not going to worry you too long this morning. You know, Paul had never been to this church at, can y'all hear me? I know I got a big mouth. I really don't need a mic, but I'm okay.
You're okay? Okay.
Paul had never been to this church at Rome. because it had been formed by some of the Romans believers that was at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. And they had went back to Rome and formed this church. But even though Paul had never visited them and didn't know any of them, Paul still loved them. Today my main focus is going to be on verse 10. There are chapter 3, verse 10, but I encourage you and I challenge you when you get home to read verse Romans chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3. Now you don't have to read all at one time, but take your time and read it this week in your moments that you have your devotions in the morning time. I hope that you do. And I said that none is righteous. In Hebrew, that means none, no one is innocent. Suppose you came upon a guy and he had two pieces of lumber and a hammer, and he was nailing them together. Well, if you would ask him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm building a ladder to the moon." And you look at him and say, "He must be crazy. He can't build a ladder to the moon." Well, many of us believers, this is where I'm going with this, many of us believers think that we can live a good life and God going to let us into heaven. So the Roman, in the book of Rome, the Bible is Romans, it's a systematic presentation of God's plan of glory, of salvation. Before we know how to be saved, we must have some sense of our sinfulness, some idea of God's holiness and God's wrath, and some understanding of our total inabilities to save ourselves. Romans 18 chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 to 320 tells us that we can never go to heaven on good works. I preached this sermon one time before, and I got in trouble too. Some people were really upset because they were saying how good they were. When I tell you, your good works and your goodness is not going to get you into heaven. Well, that didn't go over too good with that congregation. Because we can never establish our own righteousness before God by keeping the law. We are all moral and spiritually in darkness. In this extended passage, the Lord tells us the light is out for the Gentiles, the light is out for the Jews, the light is out for everyone. See, we can't go by our, we can't get into heaven on our righteousness. I'm going to say we can be good. Goodness is not going to get you into heaven. My point is, you said the light out for the Jew, for the Gentiles. Well, you know, we're looking at the Gentiles. I'm better than them. You know, I go to church, we like this guy, and I go to church, Lord, and I pay my tithe. But then when God confirmed him about it, well, he went away with his head down. But the light is out for the mass of people among the Gentiles, for ourselves and our society as a whole. Second, it lights out for the moral peoples of our society, those individuals who think they are pretty good shape morally and spiritually. Next, Paul talks about the mass of people. When you get home, you know, like I said, I want you to read that and think about our society. Paul gives us five downward stages that always occur when a society begins to erode morally. Rejection, number one, my first point of what Paul tells us is rejection of creativism. We live in a society where the world wants us to believe that creation all comes from one big bang. And they like to tell you about what the guy name? Anyway, I just move on because I can't remember the name right now. I should have wrote it down. You know, sometimes I get up, my brain sits down. But the question is, where did this stuff come from? If it all come from a big bang, it come from somewhere. Who started it? There's a lot of doubt. Oh, never mind. But anyway. Darwin, that's what I'm trying to say, Darwin theory, that the world started in a big bang. And I would like to tell, and I remember Gene Berenson telling me this story. I don't know what he told any, but he was saying that there was an argument going about the creation of human man, and these two guys were saying, well, they can do like God. They can make a man too. So they got him some dirt, and God told him, well, now wait a minute, you got to get your own dirt. So get your own dirt if you're going to make man. So that tells us that Paul tells us that the wrath of God will reveal from heaven on any society that refuses to acknowledge the obvious fact that God is the creator of the universe. He made the endless ocean of stars, all the solar system, the sun, the burning sun, the beautiful earth to show us its invisible power and divine nature. You know, man haven't created anything. We might think that man created this. Man didn't even create colors. Now, I like to watch nature shows. And if you look at the birds and all the creatures, all the colors that we have, God already made them. He owns some of the creatures. And we say, well, we know how to put our colors together. No, we don't. If we look at nature, God got all those animals and all the birds and all the creatures. Their colors blend together. And they're all different colors. So you think, man, who made that? Where did that come from? When we refuse to acknowledge that God created the heaven and the earth, and he is our creator, we take the first step in a downward slide. Number two, Paul tells us that in verse 21 and 23, for though they knew God, they did not accord him glory as God or give him thanks. Instead, they became vain in their reasoning, their senseless mind was darkened. While claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for the likeness of an image of a mortal man, a bird, a four-legged creature. Our scripture says reptile, but in the New American Bible it says snakes. So y'all know what snakes are. When we reject the true creator, we began to make our God our own gods. Today, our gods aren't typically birds and animals and snakes. They're more sophisticated than that. Today, our gods is materialism, ambitions, and selfishness. Everything is our God. But just to remind us that if we neglected to worship God and to give God our hearts and our soul, to put God first in our lives. See, God is not going to play second fiddle. He has to be first in our lives. When we get up in the morning, the first thing we should do is thank God for waking our eyes up, because that alarm clock didn't break you up. If you thought that alarm clock would wake you up, you take it and sit it out over here in the Sony View Cemetery, and it can alarm all day and nobody gets up. So it's God and the glory of God that he gave you one more day to start another day's journey, because we can't say thank you for another day, but thank you, Lord, for starting us on another day's journey, because you don't know what's going to happen for the day in. So when we neglect God, in which now, and we look at our society, and we listen to our news, you wonder sometimes, where is God? And my other question is, where is your church? While every group and everything it is out there demonstrating, where is your church? So then the nation, Paul tells us that our society and our culture, we began to fall into ungodliness and wickedness. And Psalm 150 says, let everything, he didn't say some things, he didn't say my people, but he said, let everything that got breath praise the Lord. And one songwriter said, if the birds can sing him, what about me? If you get up early in the morning and you listen to the birds, that's the day chirping. They just be, I say they be singing, singing, singing. They do their most singing early in the morning. So I would tell them, I'm like that songwriter. If the birds can praise him, what about me? And I'm going to get on to my next point is immoralities. When we erect our own gods, we write our own rules, and such a society increasingly becomes immoral and sexually permissive. If we think about where we're at now, that's where we're at. That's why they want to change the interpretation of the Bible. See, I can say what I want to say because, see, I'm not looking for no church, you know. Some things that pastor don't can't go to because as a United Methodist pastor, called, we don't never know who be listening. They have their issues. But we are in a place now, and I don't have to pastor to know to explain that. We know what the situation with the United Methodist Church is now, and a lot of more churches. Well, I'm going to move on to my fourth point. Homosexuality. I don't mind talking about it. But now we call it the LGBTQ community. And Paul tells us in verse 24, he says, therefore God handed them over to impurity through the lust of their hearts for mutual degeneration of their bodies. They exchanged the truth of God for lies and revealed and worshiped the creature rather than the creator. The creator who blesses us forever. The four steps involve the homosexuality of our society. It's increasingly becoming a seedbed for the LGBTQ community. Activities and accepted. They are trying to force us to accept it as a normal lifestyle. Every time you turn your TV on, I got what now? All I want to do is watch the old shoot 'em up westerns. Because all they show is homosexual. The men and the women, the men together, the women together, and all that. And you know, God didn't do that. That is not God. And they are trying to force it down our throats. Even to our little kids at the school down in Louisiana. I don't know. I can't remember the school. But they had a day where they had the kids, little elementary kids, practicing cross-dressing. The boys come to school with the girls, and the girls come to school with boys. I don't know. But where's the parents? Where's the parents? So I'm going to move on now to, I don't want to get on that soapbox, because I can stay on it for a while. But anyway, we're going to move on down to number five. And total collapse. That you'll find it. And since they did not, Paul says, since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, God handed them over to undiscerning minds to do what is improper. They were filled with every form of wickedness, evil, greed, and malice, full of envy, murder, rivalry, treachery, and spite. They are gossipers, scandals. They hate God. They are happy, boastful, and Jesus in their weakness, rebel against their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know the decree of God that all who practice such things deserve death, not only do they do them, but they gave approval for others that practice them. Can't you see the parallel between then and now? That's where we're heading. The remainder of the chapter describes a society that is unraveling at the seams. It is a moral meltdown. The five-stage pattern is true for modern America as it was for the ancient Solomon, Greece, and Rome. If you know the history of these, we know they all fail. Yes, yes. You say this society is going to the dogs. It's terrible what these people do. There is no excuse for it. But Paul isn't just referring to the mass of the immoral people. He is also talking about the individual within the society who think they are morally upright. We are all sinners facing the wrath of God. We have all done the same thing that these peoples have done. But now we are sinners saved by grace. He said, the light's out for the Jews. You might say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Some might say, I'm a moral person. I'm a religious person. That's what Paul's Jewish leaders thought when he said that the lights was out for them. Those of us who have grown up in the Christian church, in a Christian family, we know what God's word says. But Paul said, Paul said that if we do not live up to what we know, we are no better than them unbelievers. So, but God is a good guy. He's a good guy. And he loves his people. And he said he wished that nobody would be lost. So what did he do? He gave us a vaccine. You know, we got vaccines for flu vaccines. We got pneumonia vaccines. We got COVID vaccines. We got polio vaccines. But all these different black vaccines for all these different diseases. But see, God is a good guy. God is an awesome guy. He just made one vaccine. He made one vaccine. And I want you to leave me with this as I go to my seat. He said, but the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ on all who believe. The Lord Jesus sees our condition. He came, he shed his blood, he made atonement for his sin, and though we might have it through him, we might have eternal life. He bid us to claim him today. I blame you to claim Jesus as your personal Savior and your Lord. And the lights may be out for the world, but our lights is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And I pray, the Lord, that you would take this message and think about it as you read the chapters in Rome 1 through 3. May God have a blessing upon his word.
Thank you, Miss Lou, for a beautiful message. The closing hymn is, we have a change in the closing hymn. Miss Lou wanted to change it to Shall We Gather at the River. It's
number 723.
723 in the hymnal. If you are able, stand and join 723.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with his crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden days. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
The last one.
Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will see. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river river that flows by the throne of God.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence today. Because you are so true to your word. You say, where the two are together in your name, I'm in the midst.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for your presence today. And Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your face, we pray that you would be with us and stay in our presence throughout this week and throughout our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.